the revelation of the book Revelation part 35. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yehoshua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, especially the two keys to the book of Revelation, a full book, nearly 800 pages, 36 years of my life in research in that book, please contact us at our WhatsApp number 0722-367-124. Just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you're going to participate in the study, you are very welcome. Please go to part one, start from the beginning, because you have missed quite a bit of information. It's also very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications of the studies that we are busy with, which will be a blessing unto you. Also, share the link with your friends and family. Make sure that you at least have a 1611 King James Bible, pen and a writing pad ready. Very important to know that we do not, listen to what I'm saying, do not associate ourselves with the foreign groups, the Messianic groups, the Israel Vision groups, the Hebrew Roots movement, the Sacred Name movement, the Yah movement. We're not part of the Jehovah Witnesses or Seventh-day Adventists. Instead, we are not part of any church denomination, affiliation, or organization in the world. We are only an end-time Bible study group functioning throughout the world. I trust that this study is going to be a blessing unto you in the name of Yahushua, the name above every other name. Hallelujah. We are going to continue where we left off last week, and if you have the handbook, 3.53, Yahweh Almighty is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But Yahweh Almighty is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be bear it. For the bride of Yahushua is important. Listen to what I'm saying. For the bride, it's very important that we understand what is said in the following scripture. It says, there that no temptation take you, but such as a common man. Apostle Paul begins that the temptation, the bride, that the temptation, the bride of Yahushua shall endeavor, is something that we shall not bear alone. Why? But Yahweh El Elohim, who will not suffer you to tempt above that you are able. So he will not let you suffer with it. He will not give you something that you can't handle. It's like a child of 2 years old sitting and playing with a canister of petrol or gas, as you know it. You will not give that child a box of matches or a lighter, because he will burn himself. He will make an explosion. And the same with Yahweh Elohim. He will not give us things that we can't bear, that we can't handle. And he will give us the power to overcome it. That's what he says. But will with the temptation also make way to escape, that you be able to bear it. It's wonderful to know that Yahweh our Father shall give us the power and authority in Yahushua. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to withstand any temptation that may come our way. When studying Daniel chapter 3, we find how Yahweh Almighty protected Daniel's three friends when they were thrown into the furious furnace. When the bride of Yahushua find himself in different positions in life, or difficult positions in life, Yahweh Elohim, through the blood of Yahushua, the redemption blood, shall always support us. You will find that you are never alone. You are never alone. Daniel 3:25, he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, not being obedient to the law of the Babylonian government and its ungodly rulers. The three friends of Daniel were thrown into the furious furnace. This was one of the ways the Babylonian regime eliminated their enemies. What a fascinating is the fact that suddenly there were not just three, but with them was a fourth person presence. These Babylonians must have been astounded, not knowing the power of the living Elohim of Israel. Hallelujah. They did not know Yahweh's power. These pagan God worshippers now for the first time encounters the power of the living Elohim of Israel and of Daniel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we go through trials and tribulations, when we go through pressure times in life, His Yahweh will always be there to support us. Either through the Son Yahushua or the Ruach HaKodesh. But He's the Father. He will not give you a box of matches that you can burn yourself with the gas or the gasoline that you're sitting in a canister. Small little baby child of 2 years. He won't let you play with matches. And they have not heard the Babylonians notice that not one of these Hebrew men was hurt. Why? And the form of the fourth is like the son of Yahweh Almighty. Because Yahweh Almighty Himself entered into the challenge. Hallelujah. Didn't I say He would just don't leave you? He entered into the challenge. They found a fourth figure in the fire looking like the son of Yahweh Almighty. Just a question. How will these pagan worshippers know what the son of Yahweh Almighty looked like? They have never seen Him before. But He was glorious. He was shining. Hallelujah. Whenever there's a problem, whenever there's sickness, whenever there's a need, you will find Yahushua there in the problem. He has the answer for every problem. That I found in my life. Wherever there's a struggle or there's a situation, He shows up. Actually, I mustn't use the word shows up. He's there all the time. He was there all the time. The only thing is we don't always realize it. Although we walk in the Spirit and we live in the Spirit, sometimes I think we are so astonished by the fact that we can call upon Him anytime. And He's never too late. We as the bride of Yahushua know that Yahweh Elohim shall always intervene in any struggle. He will not let you do it alone. He will enhance you. He will carry you. He will carry you if it's necessary. According to Daniel chapter 4, we shall find our king Nebuchadnezzar became insane and lived like a beast in the field for 7 years. Let 7 times pass over in Daniel 4:16. Let the heart be changed from men. Let his heart be changed from men. In the scripture we find that Yahweh Almighty turned his back on King Nebuchadnezzar. I think it's very difficult when you must suddenly realize that Yahweh is not interested in you anymore. Even if he was a paganist. Even if he was a paganist. Because he experienced the blessings of Yahweh Almighty through Daniel and his three friends. And let a beast heart be given unto him. And let a beast heart be given unto him. That's Nebuchadnezzar. The figure of speech in this part of our scripture explains how King Nebuchadnezzar was turned into the beast of a field. He lived like a beast of the field and ate grass like a beast. Beast is an ox, a cow. Well, not a cow, but a beast is an ox. And let 7 times pass over him. This last part of our scripture explained that King Nebuchadnezzar lived a life for a period of 7 years. He lived like a beast, ate grass. After a period of 7 years, Yahweh Almighty had mercy on King Nebuchadnezzar and reinstated him in his position as king of Babylon. We also know, it's funny, if I use the word funny, it's hard to realize that a paganist like King Babylon, like King Nebuchadnezzar, received grace because of four Hebrew men. Sadrach, Daniel, Sadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar was blessed because of them. If it wasn't for them, he wouldn't have changed him back as the king of Babylon. So he was thriving on the blessings of the Hebrew men. And sometimes the people around us are blessed because of the blessing that we rub off at others. I can remember years, many, many, many years ago. I was a businessman for more than 43 years of my life. And the first thing I learned from a Jewish friend of mine those years, he says, you must always encounter with successful. If you want to be successful in your business, you must have encounters with successful businessmen. You must rub shoulders with them to get a feeling of success. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that means, that's actually figurative speech, meaning that you must learn from them. How do they operate? See how they, if there's good things to learn from them, learn. To be successful, work with successful people. And you can also see the areas. When there's areas that's really battling, and the people is battling, and then the people around the area is battling. They battle to make a living and to survive. And it's because of the spirit that's around that realm where they are living and performing. So I want to say, if you want to be successful in the word of Yahweh, is study with people that knows what the word of Yahweh means, and that will lead you in the truth, so that your eyes can be revealed by the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. We already know that Belshazzar, who was the son of King Nebuchadnezzar, and when his father became insane and lived like a beast in a field, he became king of Babylon for 7 years. Now we're going to look at the king, Belshazzar, the king and the concubines. Daniel 5 verse 1 and 2. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. According to the scripture, we find how King Belshazzar arranged a great feast for his lords, his gods, in Babylon, in his kingdom, while having a party. King Belshazzar drank of wine and became intoxicated. Belshazzar, while he was fasting the wine, according to the scripture, we find that King Belshazzar feasted on the wine, commanded to bring the gold and the silver vessels. Later, he instructed his servants to bring the gold and silver objects which were stolen from his father, King Nebuchadnezzar, conquered the nation of Israel, and brought this gold and silver away from the temple of Israel to Babylon. He says, which his father Nebuchadnezzar have taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. This part confirmed what I've just said, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. King Belshazzar's intention was to eat and drink from the gold and the silver vessel which came from the temple of Israel. Not was the king only to drink from this holy object. No, his princes, his wives, and his concubines were all to drink from this object. Just a short summary. King Daniel in chapter 12. We notice that King Belshazzar used holy objects, and his wives and his friends drank from it. According to chapter 6, we notice that Daniel's friends were cast in the lion's den because they did not bow their knees before Babylon's pagan gods. Once again, we find how Yahweh Almighty intervened and shut the mouth of the lions. Reading through these chapters, we came to realize that there's no significance regarding the end of time. Instead, these chapters direct us to the directions of Daniel and the future history of the nation of Israel. We find that the next chapter will play a major role in this study while we experience the revelation of certain prophecies in that. Now, I know we are busy with a lot of history here. But if you don't understand the history, you are not even going to see the facts when they arrive. You need to understand the history to obtain the facts. And for all us to understand the end time and the time of the end, we need to understand the history where Daniel came from. Visions of the four beasts and Yahweh Almighty's kingdom. When studying the following scriptures, we become evident that these four beasts, which Daniel have seen in his dream, will play a major part in the battle of Armageddon and the end of the world in time to come. We are now going to enter in a very interesting part of the study. I actually want to say it's about here where you need to get a seatbelt or two, not to fall out of your chair. In this part of your study, it shall be necessary to pay special attention to the figurative speech herein. Misinterpreting the figurative speech shall cause total disaster, because it shall then direct us in the wrong direction, and our end destination then shall be disastrous. Before we can study the dream of Daniel, we need to understand who or what is the waters, from where the four beasts, different beasts, shall appear. Therefore, we will first study a few scriptures from the book of Revelation to find the answers. You see, it's no use that I just tell you certain things. I've got to show you in the Bible. And because Daniel and Revelation is intertwined, they are like one. That's why the book I've written, its name is two keys, to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the safe. It's got two locks. The one lock is the book Daniel. The other lock is the world history events, history books. If you can't open these two locks with simultaneously, you will never get Revelation open. And that's why people have been suffering all their lives for it's more than 600 years, that the Protestants battle with the book of Revelation. The Charismatics and Catholics battle with the book of Revelation and Daniel, and they never found the real answers. Because a lot of it is written in figurative speech, and you need the Ruach HaKodesh to open it to you. It's not the church dogma or teachings or theology that's going to open it to you. No, instead, it's the church teachings, dogma, and theology that they are twisting and turning the scriptures to suit their own theology. One of the seven angels, Revelation 17 verse 1, reads. I just want to say we are also busy with the study of the revelation of the book of Revelation. Alright. Well, this is the study that we're busy with, the revelation of the book of Revelation. But we will be studying every scripture in the book of Revelation. But now we are busy with Daniel, but we need to bring in some of the information of the book of Revelation to understand what is written in the book Daniel. Revelation 17 verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils, and talked with me, saying unto me, that's the me is John, Apostle John, come Hitler, I will show thee unto three judgments of the great whore who sitteth on the waters. I will show thee the judgment of the great whore. The whore, is it a woman or a man? It's a woman. A judgment over the whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now it says, the angels showed Apostle John this woman sitting on the water, which had seven veils. In this scripture we notice seven veils. These veils, seven veils, shall only be released on the earth during the great tribulation, while the bride of Yahushua is in heaven. And talk with me, saying unto me. Now this angel is talking to the Apostle John, saying to him, come Hitler, I will show thee the judgment of the great hall. Coming up here, and I will show you the judgment of the great hall. Later in the study, we shall study who the great hall is, and what she has done to be named the great hall. Not just any hall, the mother of those prostitutes, that sitteth upon many waters. The most important part of the scripture is to discover who or what is this waters she's sitting on. That's very important. I always said when I was preaching around for about 10, 12 years, I was ministering throughout South Africa in different churches. I was invited all over. And when I minister, I always ask, how is she sitting, this whole mother, sitting on the waters, in a boat, in a raft, is it in a canoe, is it a little ship, how does she sit? Because she's sitting on something in the water, and she's floating. I've never seen anybody sitting on water except they have been, except they are in a boat. The Bible says she sits on the water. The following scripture shall show us what or who these water are. Studying the following scripture, once again she revealed the figurative speech in these scriptures. Understanding the revelation of the figurative speech shall suddenly open our eyes to the revelation word of Yahweh our Elohim. Now he says, and he said to me, the angel said unto Apostle John, the waters thou saw where the whore sitteth. Now the angel explained to the apostle, the water which you've seen where the whore is sitting on is water like a river of water. He says, sitting on is not water like in a river or water in a glass. You understand that? It's not water that we put in a glass or a river. No. It's something completely different. This water is figurative speech describing the following. The Bible says, they are people. These waters are who? People. Multitudes. This is not only people. These are multitudes of different people. And nations. They are different nations of the world. And tongues. They are different tongues or languages of the world. So what have we noticed now? That Revelation 17 verse 15 says, that he said unto me, the waters which thou saw where we all sitteth are people, multitude, nations, and tongues. Hallelujah. What? Yes. Whenever you read about water in the book of Daniel or Revelation, it does not refer to water in a glass. It always refers to people, multitude, nations, and tongues. This you must remember. This is one of the first things that I teach my students as well. So understand the figure of the speech when it comes to rivers or comes to the sea or seas. When he says, you see this beast with seven heads and ten horns, Revelation 13, coming from the sea. There's no beast coming out of the sea. This is the Babylonian whore mother with 10 heads and seven heads and ten horns, which is 17. 17 governments that's going to assist the Roman Catholic Pope, the Church, who will become the Antichrist, assist and to manage the world system. So, and the waters that you see is what? People, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Something to remember. You have already learned so much just now. Understanding the figure of speech suddenly reveals to us another dimension. Understanding the truth of the word of Yahweh, our Elohim. Understanding this revelation will open your eyes about the different beast which Daniel saw coming up from the sea. Suddenly there we understand something. When we're going to read about Daniel's vision about the four different beasts that will come from the sea, What are you going to understand without even reading it? If I say Daniel saw four different beasts coming out of the sea, what will you say is it? Where is this four different beasts coming from? Between different people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. If that four beasts is not coming from the sea, the Dead Sea or the Atlantic Ocean or the Indian Ocean. No, it's not the seas we're talking about. Now we understand the figurative speech of water. Standing in the revelation shall open your eyes about the different beast which Daniel came from the sea. Which sea? The Indian Ocean, the Red Sea, the Black Sea? Which sea is it coming from? No, it's not the sea of water. It's a sea of people, multitudes of nations and tongues. So suddenly as a student, we now know more than most pastors and reverends does. Prophets, doctors, and professors does. Because you came to the knowledge of understanding what is figurative speech. And when we talk about the waters, it's just one small percentage of the figurative speech we're going to discover in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. And that's why I'm walking through the book of Daniel with you, or certain parts of it. We're not going through the whole book of Daniel. You understand? Because the figurative speech there is so important for us to know the exact time, to know where the small pieces of the puzzle needs to fit in to conclude the whole picture or the puzzle of the end time. The great sea. Studying the following scriptures suddenly gives us a different view regarding the sea of waters, which is defined in these scriptures. Let us read. Daniel 7 verse 2 and 3. Daniel spoke and said, I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven stove upon the great sea. What do you understand there? What do you understand in that scripture now? Understanding what waters mean or sea. And I saw in my vision by night, the vision came at night. Prophets can receive visions in the day or at night. Behold, I saw the four winds of heaven. I can explain that this part of Daniel vision to me. Why would you say? Just remember the figurative speech concerning the water. Let me explain. And behold, the four winds of the heaven stoved upon the great sea. Firstly, we notice these four winds. These four winds came from heaven. These four winds caused a great storm on the sea. Do you see the wave? No. Why not? Because this is not a sea of water. But this is a sea of multitude of nations and people. And understanding this part of the scripture, we're standing according to the revelation word of Yahweh Elohim, know that something great is about to happen in these masses of people all over the world. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That suddenly when we now read certain verses, we can explain it without even reading the whole verse. Just because we know what waters means in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Funny, for 600 years or more, the church never taught us this. While we continue with the scripture, we will suddenly find out the word of Yahweh Elohim becomes unraveled to us. Why? Because we are getting to understand the figurative speech in it. Now what I want you to do for homework is go and take the scripture from verse 3 further on in this chapter and read it. And then I want you to make your own notes. And when we come together next week is with Yahweh's will, I want you to compare your notes with mine. Because you are you're a student of the word now. So I can give you assignments. And in this course of study of the book Revelation, I will give you assignments. Because you must first try and discover the figurative speech by yourself with the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh. And then next week when we talk about it, when we study the word, if you're right, you give yourself a right mark. If you're wrong, you say, well, I haven't seen it this way, I understood it this way. And then you compare the word with what you understand. And it's your right to believe if the scripture is right or your understanding is right. Till next week, if it's Yahweh's will, Maranatha. Yahweh's coming back again. Hallelujah.